Well, this morning we have a rare treat. I will not be preaching. That's not the treat. About a little over a month ago, I asked Michelle DeLay if she would share with us her story of how the Lord brought her to Him. And I just want to let you know that periodically we do this, although I don't think we've ever done this when I've been here, which is a great blessing for me. So if you would bow your heads with me and allow me to pray for Michelle. And Michelle, would you come? And yeah, you can be up here while I pray for you. And I asked Michelle to share her testimony with us just because of the remarkable way that God has worked in her life and in her family's life. And I know that you will all be blessed. Great God and Heavenly Father, I lift up my sister in Christ, Michelle DeLay, and ask that you would use her this morning to encourage us and teach us about how you work and the greatness of your glory and your love for us. We pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit here in this sanctuary. Give her clarity of mind and speech as she shares. And we thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
So like Pastor said, I've had probably 5 or 6 weeks to think and meditate on my story and what God's done in my life, and also to prepare what I wanted to say. And this morning, as people were texting me, brothers and sisters in Christ texting me and encouraging me and letting me know they're praying for me, God just reminded me that this is a privilege, because having a testimony means that I'm His. So I'd like to start out in prayer as well. Father God, I stand here before you in this congregation in complete reverence and awe of your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the salvation I have received through the blood of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. It is only because of you, Jesus, that I am able to stand here today as a new creation. Lord, this testimony, this story is yours of redemption in my life. I pray that you would receive all of the glory. Please give me strength as I share and help me to never forget the miracles you have performed in my life. Help me to live each day for you and your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, full disclosure, I don't want all of this to seem like doom and gloom in my story. I've had many blessings and happy memories throughout my life. However, these are just some of the trials, some of the valleys that the Lord used, and He made beauty from the ashes. My life before Christ revolved around my own personal autonomy. I thought I was in control, and I lived like I was in control. I grew up in a family with loving parents, 2 older brothers. My parents were always hardworking, and much of my childhood and my adolescent years, my dad actually traveled for his work, which left me at home with my mom most of the time. By the time I was 7, both of my brothers had left home for college and to begin their adult lives away from home. I became very self-sufficient at a young age. I looked after myself a lot. I did spend a great deal of time with my grandparents and found a lot of comfort in their stability and routine. Church was a part of my life growing up. We regularly attended church, and I am thankful that my parents brought me. However, I was not yet a Christian. Although I also didn't realize it at that time, I was a slave to sin. And it was a while before I was set free. I had formed many beliefs during these early years of my life, which led to a skewed worldview. As I matured and moved into my later years of high school, I wasn't making the best choices. I struggled a lot with my self-confidence and seemed to gravitate towards groups of people who are also struggling to find their way and cope in ways that actually weren't helping us to cope at all. This was a temporary escape that was really just the beginning of many consequences in my life. During the summer before my senior year of high school, I began dating Chris. We were almost instantly best friends. And for the first time in my life, I really felt like I had found someone who understood and loved me for who I was. Despite him moving away for college at the beginning of our relationship, we did find a way to make it work. I thought that he, of course, was going to meet every need that I had and fulfill all of this huge gaping hole I felt in my life. Our relationship continued for 4 years, and then we married. Surprisingly, he wasn't meeting all of my needs, and I'm sure I wasn't meeting his either. I was learning that life wasn't easy. 13 months after we were married, we had our first child. Chris and I were extremely excited to become first-time parents to this beautiful baby girl. A week after Isabel was born, we were called into her doctor's office as they informed us for the first time of her genetic metabolic disorder, which was detected through a newborn screening. As I sat there, hearing the doctor say this disorder can be fatal, and this precious baby would need to be monitored closely, fed every couple hours for the first years of life, she would need an IV with glucose when she's unable to eat due to illness, because her body doesn't use stored fats. This is something she will never grow out of. As the doctor continued talking, I began to see only her lips moving, nothing else. My world was being completely flipped upside down. All my life, I had waited for the moment when I could become a mother, and now I am learning that our child isn't even normal, or what the world calls normal. In fact, I can't even pronounce the rare genetic metabolic disorder that she has, yet I now know it could kill her. After the shock wore off, I went into complete craziness as I made protecting Isabel from the world my new identity. During the first 12 years of Isabel's life, she had between 15 and 20 hospitalizations. Clearly, I wasn't doing enough to protect her, or so I thought. My irrational behavior, of course, affected my relationship with my husband and even with friends and family. I just began depending on myself more, trusting that no one could really help me. If you're wondering where I was with God at this point, I was pretty sure that he had abandoned me too. I only cried out to him in moments of complete desperation, which even then I didn't always do. Chris and I were both struggling to deal with all the hardships that we faced. We were still keeping it together and things looked good on the outside, but I was personally, emotionally, a complete mess. Chris was working constantly just to make ends meet. He was working 45 to 50 hours full-time at his regular job, but we had medical bills that were usually tens of thousands of dollars every year. After staying home for the first few years, I also began to work full-time. Isabel was then 4 and Jonathan was 2, or 5 years into our marriage, living the American dream, right? We have a beautiful family, a nice home, nice vehicles, and yet we're completely lifeless, dead in our trespasses. And I still couldn't really understand why. Chris and I kept working harder, striving for all the things that this world told us for so long would make us happy. Struggles continued too, and our inability and lack of dealing with them caused our hearts to just become more callous to the world and to each other. Chris had found new ways of coping, and I was finding my own too. We seemed to almost avoid hard conversations. I honestly don't think either of us could handle much. So we would tiptoe around life, just getting by. We were both in pain. 2014 was a year filled with many trials. We were expecting our 4th child, which was an exciting time. Yet we were once again finding ourselves overwhelmed. In April, My dad had to have open heart surgery to receive a new valve. At the end of June, a heavy few rains, which dropped over 6 inches in a short time, led our sub pump to burn out, causing our entire basement to flood 2 to 3 inches. A week later, I was carrying Isabel off of a field during a softball game as she was barely able to breathe. I was 7 months pregnant at the time with Jack and rushing Isabel to the hospital unsure of what was ailing her. Chris was working his second job that evening, which was normal at the time. I was alone in the car and I felt like I was alone in life. Terrified, didn't know what would happen in the situation. Isabel was admitted to the hospital and diagnosed with a rare and acute pneumonia. The first two rounds of antibiotics weren't working. We were watching our precious daughter lie in the hospital, not responding to us, and we didn't know if she would live. The team of doctors came to inform us they were now planning to use a very strong third round of antibiotics. And if that didn't work, they were running out of options. What did that mean? Isabel's body finally began to respond, and things slowly turned around. This was her longest hospitalization, lasting almost 2 weeks. I was at a breaking point. Even though I didn't have the ability to see, I now know God was working in and through all of these obstacles, yet I was still not walking in his light. It was a year later, and I began to check out. The emotions, the pain, the suffering, the loneliness, the exhaustion, they had all become too much. My methods for coping, which previously consisted of stuffing my emotions and denying the pain, were no longer working. I was looking to the world and people outside of my marriage to fill the gaping hole inside of me. It was actually during this time that I told Chris I was done. I wanted out of our marriage. It's what I thought I wanted. But I was really only trying to escape the pain. I was trying to find a remedy for the fact that I couldn't make things better. I couldn't fix all the problems in my life. I couldn't even stop my child from being hospitalized or make my husband stop drinking. Early that fall, Chris checked himself into an alcohol rehabilitation center for a month. He came home from treatment and began attending AA meetings regularly. I was still holding on to a great deal of resentment, and I was looking for any reason to stay mad at Chris. I wasn't on board 100% in our marriage, and I was still checked out. However, things were beginning to change in our home. There was something happening, and to begin with, I didn't like it at all. I started witnessing my husband coming to life. His heart was transforming and he was changing from within. I have to be really honest here and tell you, at that time, I know Satan was working to keep me hardened because I didn't like the changes I saw in Chris. Mostly because I wanted every reason I had to not stay, and because mostly, the darkness doesn't like the light. Chris had this visible joy about him. Regardless of the circumstances, he seemed to have some sort of peace. I couldn't understand what was going on. Why was he so happy? Why was he so kind? Why did he seem genuinely concerned with me? I remember one day walking back to our bedroom and seeing Chris on his knees, next to the side of the bed, surrendering himself to the Lord. He was there for what seemed like an hour before I saw him again. And when I did see him again, he said something to me like, "I know that right now you aren't very fond of me, but I just want you to know that no matter what you do, There is nothing that you can do that will make me stop loving you. I'm never giving up on us. While those may seem like words, they pierced my heart. A few days later, Chris called me while I was still at work, told me that I needed to come home immediately. I knew by the tone in his voice, he was very serious. I left work, headed for home, and when I got there, he was sitting on the couch, and he asked me to come and sit by him. I was hesitant, angry, but he calmly said, "Just sit across from me." He explained to me how he was sorry for all of the pain he had caused me. He told me words I had never heard. He said, "I want to wash the slate clean. I'm asking you to forgive me." And he held his hand out and said, "I am here willing to forgive you. Everything that's happened in our past, it doesn't matter. We're going to start here today. We can't change anything that's back there, but we can move forward." As he extended his hand toward me, I remember it felt like the first time in my life I had this invitation to step into real forgiveness. Chris began sharing with me the forgiveness he had recently found in Jesus, telling me how he'd given his life to Jesus and was now in a personal relationship with him. He was extending this transforming forgiveness of Christ that is available to all who put their faith in him, to me, in my very weakest moment. This is when my walk with Jesus began. Right there, dead in my trespasses, completely broken, at the end of myself, there was Jesus. I remember the day I fell to my knees and I cried out to the Lord, repenting of my sin and asking him to come in my heart and be the Lord of my life. He has radically changed every aspect of my life. He has made me a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. My desires have changed. Everything has changed. Chris and I began seeing a biblical marriage counselor around this time. A sweet man who just walked us through the simple truths of the gospel, which I had never heard. We started reading scripture together and understanding truth for the first time. God was transforming our lives in every possible way, and our children could see the changes. Within a couple of months, both Isabel and John came to Chris and I saying they wanted to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. I'll never forget the evening that we kneeled at our bedside with them as they received Christ. The Lord was redeeming my life and my children's. It was a total gift from the Lord, being able to witness them come to their saving faith. Sydney wasn't far behind, and Jack has since also received Christ. This is actually hard for me to remember my life before Christ, because he truly has made me a new creation. He has given me life. He took that dead person with all that pain and he healed her. He's changed every desire I have. I now live for him. I have a refuge and a very present help in my life. I have learned that I'm not on my own, and I never was. I was bought and purchased through the blood of Christ, and my new life is in him. I am learning to live my life dependent on God, and that apart from him, I can do nothing. He has given me a new foundation based on his truth and his word. He has given me a new lens to see the world through, and it's no longer skewed. When trials come my way, which they have continued to do and they will, I no longer need to fear. I am never alone. I have faith that no matter what is going on in my life, God is in complete control. He is working all things out for my good. I have a peace which surpasses all understanding, and my identity is in who he says I am. His truth has set me free. The Lord says that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, and he has. This is my story, his story of redemption in my life. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm standing here today and have first-handedly witnessed the power of God. He moved mountains. My life is like complete opposite direction of where I was going 6 years ago. I just have to add that in. But I've witnessed first-handedly the power of the one true living God, and to him be all of the glory. Thank you.